In our consideration of teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord, there's something that needs to be considered here, is that some must be marked. Some must be marked and avoided. I encourage you to take your Bibles and read for yourself over here in Romans chapter 16. The Apostle Paul had never been to Rome at the time of this writing, but this church had been established from evidently the scattering out of Jerusalem and up into Asia Minor, and those ultimately that went to Rome, and a church was established there. And he, having heard of their order and their practice, sought to write to them to encourage them, hoping one day to go visit them and be with them. As he's closing out this book, he mentions this. And, you know, forgiveness, you've heard me preach it, and it's the place where I stand. Of course, to accomplish it, we need the Lord's help. But you and I, as our Lord Jesus Christ, should be always willing to forgive. Forgiveness is something that just ought to be an attribute of the children of God. We need to be forgivers. Our Lord is a forgiver. But understand, honor that is extended to someone has to be earned. And honor and trust has to be earned. It's just that way. And that and forgiveness, honor and trust and forgiveness, are all not part and parcel of the same thing. One that has fallen to the temptation of a certain route doesn't need to be immediately trusted with the same thing again on a grand scale. You don't leave the keys of a bank with a bank robber, a former bank robber. They can make restitution. They can do their time. They can pay it all back. But you don't put the keys of the bank right back in their hand again. It's not prudent to do so. I mean, it's a poor example, but that's the way, hopefully we can gain an understanding of how it is. The apostle, as he's closing out this book, and in this chapter, he's giving salutations to the brothers and sisters that are there and that he knows of. He writes to us in verse number 17 of Romans chapter 16. He says, "Now I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now, I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said that. Offenses and strife and such contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. You know, there's an order amongst the churches, and as an example, the discipline of churches that are of like faith and order, that discipline needs to be supported. In many places, it's not. It needs to be upheld. A church's business, indeed, is their own business, and we give the proclamation that we are independent Baptists. We're not responsible for what we do at Olmsted Baptist Church to any other church. But a church of like faith and order who has a disciplinary issue, we need to honor that. We need to honor that until that can be resolved there for the most part. Now, sometimes there's things that are just out of the way. Sometimes it can be, as people do, sometimes churches can be vengeful. It can happen. It can happen. And sometimes some of those waters might need to be navigated. But we always need to seek to honor the discipline of another church as an example. And so a brother that would lead, a pastor that would lead in another way, not yielding to church authority of another church and the discipline that they've administered, I don't think he's leading in a right way, especially when there's a pattern of these things. He says, "I beg you, mark them which cause divisions." Now, you and I, we don't want to mark anybody, do we? We don't want to mark anybody. We don't want to have to consider that a certain person, that we need to note what's going on. We don't want to do that. Who wants to do that? But sometimes it happens that we need to. Those that cause divisions, those that cause offenses contrary to the doctrine, the teaching that we've received, he says unto them, mark them and avoid them. And that can be a pastor's recommendation to the membership of the church that he pastors in some cases, that some men just need to be marked and some men need to be avoided. There are those that have been brethren pastors that have been unfaithful to their wives and unfaithful in their marriages and go on in that way for years. Men that you and I know, they get caught up with another woman and go out on their wife, and then even they're reconciled to their wife. That's the desire. They should be reconciled to their wife when they've been in an adulterous situation. I that's what I desire. You've got a man that's a pastor, and he goes out on his wife and does so for years, but ultimately is reconciled. Well, that man he's forfeited, in my opinion, his calling and his qualification to be a pastor. He needs to sit down and be a member of one of the Lord's churches and help out the best way he can, because he's brought reproach on the name of Christ. And he can heal his marriage, maybe, and he can get back to serving the Lord. But as far as being a pastor, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think that it's right. Myself, by the qualifications. Remember, as we saw Peter writing to us, and as he's closing out his epistle there in 2 Peter, he says it's holy men of God that the Lord used to bring his word. And it's supposed to be holy men of God, not perfect men, but not men that are cheaters on their taxes and thieves and extortioners and robbers of old people and adulterers and such as that while they're in that station. Sometimes men just need to be marked and avoided. And so it happens that way. Listen, he says, for they that are such, verse 18, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that needs to be considered. I think that men can be evaluated by who they talk about. Do they talk about themselves? Do they talk about their pursuits? Do they talk about the things that they have? Or is it that they present the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all things. The sinner that's in need of salvation, the child of God that needs to serve and to walk, and the child of God that needs to grow up to be a mature adult. Do they talk about themselves? Or do they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, these that walk contrary, cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, they serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly. But their own belly. What's important to them? And by good words and fair speeches, look what these do. Deceive the hearts of the simple. Those that are to be marked and avoided are always looking for a contingent to follow them. I tell you, brothers and sisters, don't you follow me. You follow Christ. Because a man that's looking for folks to follow him, to get in his corner, to bring up an issue at a church service or a church business meeting and try to poll the people to find out how many votes, look out for a man that's not following the Lord. Amen. The man of God needs to be dedicated to the Lord and follow the Lord by leadership. And these things that I've spoken to you this afternoon are by that way. This motivation comes from no person on this earth. It comes from the Lord. And me doing my honest responsibility before God to help you and to remind you and to warn you of these things. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, as he's heading towards Jerusalem and he's visiting with some of the brethren from Ephesus. And he's sent to the brethren at Ephesus. He's meeting them at Miletus. He's got some things that he wants to tell them. There's kind of the specter that this is going to come down to the end for Paul. At least Paul's circulation is not going to be as great as it has been. And so he's of the Lord, wanting to meet with them. And listen to what he says in Acts chapter 20. We'll pick it up in verse 28. He says many things. But he says to these brethren who are ministers and pastors of the Lord, he says, take heed, Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Is he talking to pastors? He's doing it, isn't he? He's talking to pastors as an apostle to feed the church of God. Now, a man that doesn't look to feed the church of God, watch out for him. He might need to be marked and avoided, which he hath purchased with his own blood, a reminder of the purchase price of the Lord's church. Tells us that in Ephesians also, doesn't it? For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The man of God should be on the lookout for wolves. And that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to be on the lookout for wolves. And you know what? It's difficult to say that I believe a man might be a wolf. That really brings a focus upon a man to stand up against another and say, I believe this man might be a wolf. You might ought to mark him and avoid him. Okay? We are all known by our fruit. We are all known by our works. Even a child is known by his doings, doesn't the scripture say? And so that is what we have to estimate and to look on at. Listen to what he says. He says, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves, verse 29, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They don't care about the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Perverse things, twisted out of joint, taking a situation and the facts thereof and making it into what they want to make it in. Always having justification for an action that, well, it's against the word of God, but the situation dictates it. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I think the Apostle Paul loves them, doesn't he? Even though he tells them this straight thing to these men, these brethren, these ones that are the ministers of the Lord in these churches, he loves them. He wants a good thing for the church, but he, by the power and the witness of God within him, he knows that some of them are going to need to be marked and avoided. It's just the way that it works sometimes. It's sad. It's terrible that we even have to consider that such a thing can be, but we know that it can be. This leads us to this in Galatians chapter 2. Lord, help us. Again, for a man to stand up and to bring these things out of the scripture, it brings, I tell you what, I need your prayers. It makes me a target. But it's the thing is, it's the case for all men of God. It's the case for all the pastors of the Lord. And this thing needs to be dealt with. And we need to have it in a right way. Paul rehearsing his ministry and to the churches at Galatia. They had taken up to want to follow after Judaism and adding works and adding the law to that of Christ and God, the gospel of Christ and that. And so he's making this case before them and he's telling about his ministry. And he tells about this in verse number 11 of Galatians 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, Peter. Peter's doing fine with the Gentiles in Antioch until some came up from Jerusalem in the church that was there. That's that reference to Brother James the Apostle, Brother James the Less. He seems to be the pastor there, ultimately, at the church at Jerusalem. When those Jews that had this quarrel about taking up and going back and introducing Judaism into the Lord's church and the doctrine that the church held to, when they came and wanted to separate themselves from the Gentiles, Peter started getting antsy and itchy and nervous, and in time he went over there with them too. He wasn't palsy-wowsy with his Gentile brethren in Antioch as he was. And then Barnabas is looking on at it, the son of consolation, the apostles named him. A very generous man, a very loving man. It started bugging him too, and he separated himself. What's the point to this, brothers and sisters? You know, what's necessary is that I think that this example from the apostle rebuking another apostle, that that's the place that it needs to be, that it is the pastors of the Lord that are in place to rebuke other pastors. Only by the word of God and in the spirit of meekness. Because, for example, the example that I gave earlier, to not support another church's discipline is just not right. It's not, there's not congruency in the fellowship between churches and the work of our Lord. If one church, in a right way, in a right manner, right spirit, undertook to remove one of their members for public sin, another church shouldn't step in and receive them and short circuit such a thing. It should not be. It should be dealt with and resolved. It should be dealt with and resolved right there. Because you know what? As as folks are received in that way and given a pass truly on sins that were committed publicly, and I'm just saying if that were the case, then look what's happened. That one that has been wicked and disobedient has got the slip, has got the bye, and now they move on maybe to even more fertile fields, if you understand what I'm saying. They're able to be wicked and seduce others. That's the possibility. That's the reason things need to be stopped right where they are and dealt with right where they are. And so here we have an example that it is the Lord's ministers, here apostle to apostle, and I think that we can transfer that pastor to pastor, that it is the Lord's pastor's responsibility to be not silent, but to speak and to deal with things with our brethren one-on-one. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and I tell you, since I've been pastor here at Olmsted Baptist Church, I've been guilty of this. And I'm sad of it. And I've, Lord being my helper, I've learned from it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 22 says, "Lay hands suddenly on no man." It's talking about the ordination of ministers, of pastors, of missionaries. "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." The ordination of a man to be a deacon or to be a pastor or a missionary, as it tells, and Lord willing, in the course of this study, we'll take a look at the qualifications. It tells us in the qualifications that are contained in Timothy and in Titus that these men need to be proved. They need to be proved. They need to be proved for a time. You know what? I think that there's an example in the scripture that tells us about that proving. A man that pops up and says that he's saved should never be ordained immediately. Never. They should be proved. He's got to learn. If a man's just saved, let's say there's a man that he's been, let's say even at the case that he's been pastoring for years, and then comes up and says, "Now I've been saved." You know what? All that former experience, all that former teaching and preaching, it needs to be treated as if it's totally gone away. Because see, if that man was not saved, the Spirit of God was not in him. And you know what? It's only by the Spirit of God that you and I are spiritually taught. Not physical experience in this earth. Not what we can just by our flesh and our mind understand from the Scriptures. But that man needs, what's the example that we see? How long were the apostles with the Lord Jesus Christ? I think it was 3 years, wasn't it? 3 years. How long was the Apostle Paul in the deserts of Arabia being taught by the Lord and there with the church at Damascus? 3 years, 3.5 years. I think we've got a pattern there. I think we've got a pattern there that shows us that from the beginning, men that are going to be ordained need to be proved, and they need to be proved by the church where they're found in. They need to pursue ministry while they're in that church. They need to study and to learn with their pastor or other means while they're there in that calling, in that church, show that church know that they are called of the Lord so they can sanction them to go on to the ministry that they say that they're called to. It's the Lord that calls men, and it's churches that sanction them, and we're responsible for doing so. I laid hands on a man suddenly, and I'm sad for it. And turns out that man flew off the deep end and went over into, seems like, a Messianic Jew. He needed more time. I learned a hard lesson. And I'm sad for him, and I'm sad for we that ordained him, the church that ordained him, and we that were in the presbytery in doing so. But you know what? Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, is in there for a reason. And don't do it quick. Don't do it suddenly. If it's done suddenly, bad things can come from it. And then we have in 2 John, and this passage is applied to Jehovah's Witnesses readily, but you know what? It has other application too in this context. Some men must be marked and avoided. In 2 John verse number 9, listen to what the scripture says. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, kind of like what we read over there in Romans 16, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. It's said over here in 1 Timothy 5. Let me get that back real quick here. It said here, neither be partaker of other men's sins. See, this is not just about knowing the doctrine as it is outlined in the scriptures. Many can do that. But what it's talking about, I think, and what the goal and the end is are the men of God taking in their pastorate and their calling in the pastorate, taking the word of God and applying it? Not working a political kind of thing, a political pursuit, where I've got to please this brother and I've got to please this church and I've got to keep this straight, but looking to please our Lord Jesus Christ always, no matter what men may think, by what the Word of God says. Not taking a convenient route, but taking the route, as inconvenient as it may be, that follows our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. It's not just knowledge, as we've seen even recently in our own lives. It's not just knowledge, but application of it. And in my example earlier, one that usurps the authority of churches is not operating by the doctrine which we have received. If the Lord is going to get glory in His church, if our Lord shed His own blood for His church, if He is the head of His churches, then we best get it estimated right and seek our Lord's face on how we're to operate in her. Pastors, members, all of us together. And so he says here, whosoever transgresseth and abideth, and this is in 2 John, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Abiding is talking about living. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, they abide in it. Not just know it, but live in it. Even if it may hurt them, receive him not into your house, into your church. Neither bid him Godspeed. Why? For he that biddeth him Godspeed, the blessing of the Lord being upon him. Do you want to be a partaker of a man's evil deeds? No, I don't. Better to mark them and avoid them. You know what we should do in marking them and avoiding them? We should certainly pray for them. See, there is an element here that this does speak about shunning, and in regards to church discipline in that, somebody that's removed from the membership of a church for public sin, there's nothing in the Word of God that says that we are to shun them. We're to be a witness to them of good things in Christ. But in that removal, the privileges of membership are forfeited. They're taken away. by the action of the church. And with another brother, some would call it censorship, that one would be censured. And maybe that would be the perception that it would be. But we don't want to be partaker of evil deeds, do we? And Lord, help us that we would have discernment in these things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Our brother makes an appeal here in verse number 2 that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord, you know what? He'll take care of us, verse number 3. He'll keep us from evil. We need to be looking to him always. Verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Have you noticed that how in these passages it's a beseeching and there's a command and a directive? It's really strong. I had never seen that before, but it's really strong. I'm begging you. I'm commanding you. Listen to what he says. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. And again, in my example, that support of church discipline as an example, it's not an orderly thing not to support other churches' discipline. It's not walking in step. That's what that disorderly means. Our brother that's in the army, he knows all about walking and marching in step. And we need to be in step with our Lord. We need to be in step with our Lord, one with another and with our Lord. And so it is with the pastors and the brethren that pastor the Lord's churches. We need to be in step with the doctrine that we have received from our Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read a couple verses here. Let's back up to get the whole sentence in verse number 3. He's talking about servants. He's talking about masters of servants. And then he picks up here in the thought, if any man teach otherwise, verse number 3, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we have right here in the scripture, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, here's his situation. He is proud, not submitting to the doctrine of our Lord. He knows nothing, not submitting to the wholesome words of our Lord. But doting about with questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Listen, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. If you ever hear, you know, we're very thankful for our Lord's provision for our church. We are. And I'm thankful for the Lord's blessing and provision for you and the way that the Lord has convicted the membership of the church to give. It's the Lord's blessing. It's the Lord's prosperity upon us. We know that it is his blessing upon us. But is it the only indication of the Lord's blessing? Be careful. Let us be careful that we only use that as the only gauge. You know, wealth and finances and property and such as that are important to men. And we should take the things of this world and use them well and use them right. But it's not the only gauge of godliness and blessing of the Lord. As we know, I've mentioned in recent time, Satan can bless too. Now, I believe what we have, the Lord has blessed us with. Okay? But there are those that hold to that fact. Remember what the Lord Jesus chided the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and scribes of his day? He said, you think you're righteous because you do well physically and financially, but you abhor and despise the poor and the weak and the afflicted. He said, you tithe of all that little herb garden and everything just right down to the seed. But you've left off judgment justice, mercy. The Lord said the weightier things of the law. He said you should have tithed, but you shouldn't have left the other undone. So here, one that would go forth saying that gain is godliness, and I think that's talking about physical gain or the physical things in this life. What's he say? From such, withdraw thyself. Okay? So praise God for his blessings. Our Lord knows we need finances and we need stuff. And when we do get something, we should well thank the Lord and praise the Lord for it. But it's not the only gauge of godliness. Matter of fact, it's kind of one of the low ends of the gauge of godliness. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, taking God's word and even following God's word when it hurts. As we've seen in our consideration on Wednesday so far about, or we saw, not in that consideration, but what we just had recently, that our greatest challenge in the Lord as the children of God is to grow up in him. To grow up in him and take this good word of God and apply it to our lives going forward. We need his doctrine. We need his truth. We need this fellowship and service and commission that we need to pursue in his church. But the greatest challenge that we have is taking this good word and putting it on ourselves by the help and power of God that we might be like his son. That's the biggest challenge we've got, not what we have. What is it Jesus said? A man's life does not consist of the things that he possesseth. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? So he says here, he says, perverse disputings of men is what these pursue, of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He says, from such withdraw thyself. Because remember, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the gain that the Lord looks at and sees. Everything in its right place. As I've told you here recently, we've got a big pie, and there's all kinds of slices to the pie. And may our Lord help us that we have all the pieces of the pie there, and we need to know that. Again, back in Romans chapter 16, sad but true, some must be marked and some avoided. Again, our brothers, he writes to the church at Rome, now I beseech you, brethren, verse number 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Again, a man that looks for folks to follow him, to get in his corner, to fight his fight, watch out. But a man that follows the Lord and preaches and teaches that we all need to follow our Lord Jesus according to what he's given, that's a man that you can listen to and you can hear. If you have any questions about the message or anything else, feel free to ask. But again, this is a point that we all need to know. It's a heavy thing, and it is a grievous and sorrowful thing, but it is true because these things can happen amongst mankind.